WFTW. And on the phone with me, I've got 2020 Chairman of the Board for the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce. And along with Vince Bayfield, I do have Tom Rice for the Magnolia Grill. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to talk to the Magnolia Grill studio.
It is the Grill studio. Could you bring me some red beans and rice, please?
No, Vince, I'm looking around. He doesn't have a kitchen in this thing. He's got a really good coffee maker, though. You need one just like his.
Oh, you mean instead of the brown, what do you call it, brown acid? Yeah, okay, I got you.
But I'm not paying for it. You know, the studio sponsor only goes so far.
Okay, that's no reflection on the Magnolia Grill. Let's make that clear.
All right, they have great coffee there. Great food.
And great, yes, and they're open. That's a bonus. All right, so you guys called in because you want to talk about something very near and dear to your hearts, and I know what that is. So, Vince, do you want to take the lead on this one?
Absolutely. So, as many of you know, we have a campaign that was that came as a grassroots movement of business owners in the local area and the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce and the other chambers of commerce, Destin, Niceville, Valpy, and Crestview have all joined in with us, and we are trying to get a half-cent tax passed to improve our schools. Our school infrastructure is falling apart, and we know that schools are economic drivers, and so this grassroots movement is trying to make this happen and educate the voters and let them know about the conditions of our schools and how they can get out and help and support.
Yes, and I know, Vince, when we were doing interviews in the studio, you had been going out and looking at these schools, being that you're the chairman of the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce. You were going around looking at each and every school to find out what the condition of each school was. And after you did your rounds and you had eyes on, what was your perspective on that?
Well, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that because Get the Coast just did a great video of my alma mater, which is Choctahatchee High School. I graduated there in 1984. And as I pulled over to the side of the road at the Eglin Federal Credit Union and I watched the video, and after I got done watching the video, what popped up in my mind is, after looking at the mold and the condition of the air conditioning and things like that, I thought, you know what, I don't want my kid to go there. And that's a sad state of affairs. But we've got Tom here, and Tom and his wife Peggy are in support of the half-cent tax for the school. And Tom has a unique perspective on the history of the area and can talk to us a little bit about that as well.
Sounds good. Okay, Tom.
Well, you know, Dan, I appreciate you doing this. You know, this is unique for me to come to Vince's office to talk to you at the studio that we sponsor. You know, we've been great supporters of the school system. Peg and I are both, you know, graduates of Choctahatchee High School. And we didn't go to the one that Vince went to. We went to what is now Meg's Middle School. You know, the Choctahatchee High School that we went to was built and opened in 1953, built in 1952. The first class was in 1953. We both went to the old school board building. We both went to the Fort Walton School for a time. And, you know, the building that's you know, now used for offices, part of it's closed, but they do use some of the offices there. So we've had a long tradition. You know, the only school we didn't go to was the little white school building down there on the historic triangle. But having gone to Meg's and then, you know, watching Choctahatchee High School being built, you know, for the first class in fall of 66, you know, very shiny, you know, really great. But, you know, you look at how many years that school has now been operating, and much like, you know, the restaurant, we joke a lot that most of my job at the restaurant is curator, and people say, well, why aren't you open on a Saturday morning? I said, that's when we do paint, putty, and constant renovation. Now, we've got a building that's 110 years old, and guess what? Some of the schools that we've got are half that old, 50, 60 years, 70 years for a facility. And times have changed. You know, the schools that we went to had awning windows that opened up. There was no such thing as air conditioning. So we've added a lot of things that to make the education possible, you know, that the kids will stay awake during class by being cool and having a safe environment. I was absolutely appalled when we went over to Edwin's and walked through that with one of the first meetings that we had with this effort. And, you know, holes in the ceilings. They're doing the best they can. There's just not enough money to do the major rehabs that they're going to have to do to some of these schools. That's why Peg and I, you know, Peg was a teacher in the classroom. She spent 38 years in the classroom, was chorus director at Bruner, then moved with the ninth graders over to Fort Walton Beach High School. You know, we both say that, you know, while our shirt may be red, you know, we would wear red shirts when we were volunteering over at Fort Walton, but our blood was green, you know, and I mean, kind of a joke to the kids, but we've supported all these schools. There's just not enough money to go for the maintenance and some of the major things that need to be done. Walking through Choctahatchee High School and seeing the condition of the HVAC system, you know, we would not in our homes or in my business would tolerate the kind of equipment that's now 50-some years old. There's much more efficient equipment. Buildings have been torn down in our community that are younger than those buildings. And, you know, they've done what they can do to keep them up, you know, but they're suffering from a lot of things now that just paint and putty won't fix. The air conditioning systems, the wiring, some of those things, that takes some major money. And, you know, one of the things that we support, we try to do these pancake breakfasts for the band kids and for the chorus programs and for the junior ROTC. But, you know, a pancake breakfast can't raise the kind of money that the schools need. So we look at this as a sales tax. I had somebody at the restaurant the other day that said, well, you know, we just didn't want any more taxes. And I said, well, you know, this half penny will generate tremendous amounts of money. And unlike property tax, a lot of folks that visit with us will share this burden. You know, in the wintertime, we have all our snowbird friends that have no problem coming and paying for pancakes to support the kids. You know, those pennies that they'll be spending, they'll be doing the same thing. They'll be buying new air conditioners and new wiring and new roofs for these buildings. So we look at this sales tax as something that is spread across the community and is also a spread to all the visitors that come here. So, you know, we look at this as a really win-win to be able to let them help us keep these schools up.
Yeah. It's 50% is paid for by the tourists. We commissioned a study to go and take a look at that, and 56%, that's the number, is going to be paid by the tourists. It's going to generate roughly $234 million over a 10-year period. And the reality is that there's a $500 million need. They've had Jacobs Titan has gone in. They have looked at all of the schools and rack and stacked them, evaluated all of the systems. And, we just need to get our schools up to, we're asking for a B-. They're a D- right now. This is a great way to generate the funds that are necessary to do that. A lot of people don't realize that Florida ranks 43rd out of 50 states in funding public school education on a per-student basis. People also ask and say, well, we had the lottery. But a lot of people don't understand that the lottery money that was out there was rerouted to do Bright Future scholarships for the colleges. And very little of that lottery money comes to the schools. Now, when the lottery money does come to the schools, what little there is, it cannot be used for capital purchases like redoing roofs and buildings and things like that. And there is, you know, we're not asking for nice to haves like building a new stadium or anything like that. We're trying to get kids out of portable classrooms. There's 167 portables, Dan, and of those 167 portables, they have an average age of 27 years, and that's because the law says what the class size has to be. So if there's not enough room in the physical buildings, they've either got to go buy a portable or move a portable around from one of the other locations as they're able to renovate or add a new wing on, and they really haven't been able to do that since 1995 when we passed the last half penny tax for the schools.
Yeah, and I would think also that maybe safety might be a factor, because you're talking about electrical issues as well. You know, we want to make our kids safe. We want to have them in a nice environment to be able to learn. We want them to make sure they have some air conditioning while they're trying to go to school and take tests and learn and just make it comfortable for the kids. And how about something that looks nice, too?
I hear you. When I drive over to Walton County and I drive by Dune Elementary School, that looks like a state-of-the-art school.
Yep.
I've been inside and looked at it, all new wiring and everything. I asked the question, why not Okaloosa County? You know, we've, for 40 years here in Okaloosa County, we have, you know, traded low taxes and status quo, and, you know, we've got the infrastructure here to prove it.
Yep.
And as a business owner, and I know Tom knows this as a business owner, if you're going to provide a product or a service, there's a certain level of investment that you have to make to keep a quality service or product there in play. And, you know, the schools simply don't have it. We don't have a spending problem here. We have a revenue problem. The schools are actually very frugal.
Are you there?
Are we there?
Okay.
We are there, Dan.
Okay.
I thought maybe I lost you. When we opened the Magnolia Grill, you know, a 1910 building, we put state-of-the-art air conditioning in it. I was just amazed at how many tons you needed for 2,500, 3,000 square foot. Well, you know, we've had a decade has gone by, and air conditioning units that we put in 10 years ago and 20 years ago, they're all having to be replaced now.
Sure.
We've got schools that were built in the 60s and earlier that have been, you know, renovated and tinkered with, but it takes some major money. And one of the ways, and I know Vince has got the details on it, but the allocation for money that goes to infrastructure is kind of an equal thing. So Walton County has fewer students, but they get the same amount of money, in the check that comes to do the renovations and that sort of thing for the infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, here we have, I think we're 23 kids to there, you know, or 23 kids over there. We got 100 kids over here, but we get the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
The wear and tear on these buildings is just incredible. And, you know, like your church or like your business or like your home, there comes a time when the switches have to be replaced, the air conditionings have to be pulled out, and you got to put a new roof on. And when you're talking about putting a roof on a high school, you're not talking about $20,000. You're talking about maybe, you know, $1 million, $2 million. Before the show got on, we were talking about Mr. Spolsky. When Megan was going to Choctaw, Mr. Spolsky was a newly graduated teacher, you know. He was there in the summertime running cable when they put a computer in every teacher's desk. So some of that sort of thing has been done, and now, you know, we don't expect just one computer to be in a classroom. We expect to have a whole classroom full of computers. So some of this will be, you know, this money will come in, and it will be observed by a community team, that will oversee. And Vince, why don't you tell them about how that, you know, some people are concerned. We're going to give this money, but we're not going to know where it goes. How is this going to work?
So there's going to be a citizens advisory council that is going to review these items, and these people are going to be nominated from one of each of the chambers of commerce. They will be people that have a background in either finance or construction or things like that, but not actually involved or have any way of materially benefiting from that. It will be under the Sunshine Law, and it will be approved by the school boards. And so those folks will look at these needs as these projects go on and provide that oversight for the citizens of Okaloosa County. We're doing a very similar thing right now with the half-cent tax that passed for the county in 2018. For public safety and stormwater and roads. And in fact, Matt Turpin, who is with Bank of England Mortgage and a former chair at the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce, sits on that particular board. And the county's done a great job of making full transparency, publishing all those projects as they've been accomplished on the website. A lot of people don't realize that the entire P.J. Adams bypass is being funded with that and then BP Triumph funds in order to do it. So we are doing a similar model here with the schools and the school district should the voters agree and help pass this halfpenny tax.
I would bet you that most of the voters will go along with this because I think the citizens of Okaloosa County support the school system.
Well, you know, and Dan, I had somebody was in the restaurant the other day, and of course these subjects come up, even if they have to come back to the kitchen to, you know, ask me things. They said, well, you know, a tax will never go away. And I said, well, now, you know, the last time we did this, it was also,
it was 3 years.
Three years.
In 95.
In 95. And it sunset. You know, there came a point where that was done. And so this effort, it also has an end date. It can't, you have to have another referendum. This is a one-time shot for this. If the people, you know, in a decade from now, they want to redo it, they could go again. But this doesn't go on forever. So it does have an end date to it. You know, it's got some ideas of what they need to do with the money. So, you know, that's always comforting to me. We don't have any kids in the school system now. We have grandkids that are in the school system. So the schools that will benefit from it, you know, I don't actually have a child in school now, but I think, you know, it's one of those good things that Peg and I have decided this is something we really need to do. She was still teaching when the last one came along, and she actually got a computer. I mean, today we have a computer in our hand. But in those days, you know, when this happened before, she actually got a computer that she could actually talk to the front office with, you know. And, I mean, now we just shake our heads and kids look at you like that's crazy. But in those days, you know, just to have a computer on your desk, that was a step forward. So there's a lot of the things that, you know, we need to do. I think what concerns me a lot is when military families and organizations, you know, companies come and look at the area and they want to open a business here. And, you know, while we have a great, great school system as a credit to the teachers and the faculties, you know, in the leadership, but the facilities are so appalling that a lot of companies, I think, would come around. What are your schools like? Well, we have all these A schools, but golly mighty, it's like teaching in a tent. So, you know, businesses may look somewhere else, you know, to go, you know, move their business. So that's a concern down the road, you know, military installations. That's a big thing to have good schools in your community.
Well, it really is. And when you think about it, you know, people love their football teams for all the high schools, and they're willing to do booster clubs and do whatever they have to help the football teams. But what about the schools itself?
That's it.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you look at, you know, Tom talked a few minutes ago about taxes and how much money is there for the infrastructure. So just to kind of give people a little bit of perspective here, you've got Walton County, which has 9,200 students or so. You have Okaloosa County that has 32,000 students. And the money that comes for that infrastructure comes from property taxes. And so we have some of the lowest property taxes in the state. And if you look at the two counties, they both take in roughly $30 million in for the capital expenditures that are necessary. Now, that's $30 million to service 32,000 schools and 32,000 students in 38 schools, and $30 million to support 9,000 students, and I believe it's 11 schools. So there's a huge disparity and difference there. And as I mentioned before, you know, the Florida State Legislature, and we have some of the lowest taxes, they've left it to the schools or the local communities to come up with the additional funding that they need to fund local schools. And you've either got to do that through an increasing property tax or doing it through a sales tax or some other assessment. The great thing about a sales tax, again, as Tom mentioned, everybody pays it that comes here, every visitor, every person, and they pick up a portion of the bill. And since our economy is built on tourism and military, and the tourists come here, you know, it makes sense to have the tourists pick up 56% of that bill. It's one of the things that that can help generate the funds that are necessary to do this.
I've got a question, because maybe you can clarify this. Now, doesn't a lot of the tax money, the funding for the schools, does that come out of property tax?
Yes, it does come out of property tax. There's also money that comes from the federal government, and that gets aggregated and sent down. But the total amount, we rank 43rd in the nation in of our funding of public schools here per FTE. And if you look at the amount of money that the schools, you know, what they do to in terms of capital funding and how the money is spent on a per student basis. If you look at Walton County, for example, they spend $3,281 per student maintaining their capital base there and the buildings and those types of things. If you look over to Scambia, it's $2,008 per student. If you look at Santa Rosa, it's $648 per student, and the state average is around $900 per student. You'll never guess where Okaloosa is at, $236 per student.
Okay? That's pretty low.
Again, are underfunded.
Yep, and what I was getting at there, Vince, is if we're paying money out of our property taxes to go towards the schools, the better option would be the sales tax rather than raise property taxes to compensate. I would rather have the tourists help out than us funding it ourselves.
Absolutely.
And you know, we have shown, you know, of course, they won't all know that they'll just see 7% on the ticket when I hand them their bill. But, you know, we have found that our winter visitors are more than helpful when we have fundraisers for the school. We just can't cook enough pancakes to do the fixes that we need to do. We need bigger help than that. We need to put these roofs on. We need to get the plumbing fixed. You know, we need to get the wiring, the big switch panels fixed, and we need to get the air conditionings, you know, replaced. And these are just major items that need to be taken care of. You know, you got to dry in the building, and then you got to get the thing fixed. And it is 50, 60 years in some cases, and this is going to take some money, and this is a way to do it.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's taken too long to get to this point to get the money for the schools. Is there any reasoning behind not raising more money for the schools in the past?
Well, you know, we're a very conservative area. Nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to. And we've sort of worn this like a badge of courage that we have the lowest taxes, you know, some of the lowest taxes in the state, you know, and eventually, you know, that catches up with you. And, you know, this is why the county asked for a half-cent tax in 2018, and that also came out of a grassroots movement because, this impacts, as Tom said, our businesses. It impacts our area when, you know, schools are economic drivers. Not only do they bring qualified people into the workforce, but they also show a level of investment in the community. And so when companies come here, or when we try to attract doctors or engineers here, you know, they come and they look at this place and they go, you know what, I don't want to raise my family here. The beaches are beautiful. It's a great place to live. But, you know, getting a proper K-12 education in a safe and quality environment is absolutely critical. And when parents see that, they go, you know what, I don't want my kids there. It's just like me pulling over the other day. I love Choctaw, and I was excited about my daughter who plays travel ball going to play softball at Choctaw, and then ultimately I want her to go to Notre Dame and play softball. But after watching the video that came out from Get the Coast, I said, you know what? I don't want my kid there.
Yep.
I don't want him there. If they're not going to fix it, then I'll send them to private school, or I'll try to do something else to get them educated properly. But what I'm doing right now, and what other like-minded business people in the community are saying, you know what? It's time. It's time to act. It's time for us to do something. It's time for us to invest in our community. And it's time for us to fix this problem. Because we, the people of this community have the ability to make it happen.
Yep, and I think it's time. I really do. I think as a grandparent and my grandkids going through school, I want them to have a nice facility to go to, a nice school to go to that's safe, has good air conditioning, you load the electricity's good. It's the whole thing. I mean, why not have a good school facility for the kids to go into? Why not?
I don't know. Maybe we should send them all to school with umbrellas, because that's kind of the problem they've got now with the leaking roofs. I mean, that is a cheap solution. We could Band-Aid it that way.
All right, Dan, you know my thoughts on this. I think this is a great idea, but I think it's about time for you to sign off, isn't it?
It is. We got to take off. Thank you guys for coming in, both of you.